are listening to the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
No hate, no hype, no fear.
Hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for tuning in once again. It is Friday. Yes, we've done it once again, ladies and gentlemen. We've made it through another week. I can't tell you how excited I am for the weekend. I appreciate all of you guys tuning in this morning. It's very nice to see the chat room filling up. Today is going to be an awesome show. I'm not going to lie. We are we're knee deep in goof off mode here at Red Pill Reports right now. And very fortunate for all of us. We have somehow persuaded Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton to wake up very early and join us figuratively here in the studio this morning for the entire 2 hours. Very, very excited to have them along for the ride. Aaron and Melissa, thank you guys so much for joining us on the Red Pill Reports this morning.
Boy, hello.
Thank you.
We're very chipper this morning.
I can tell. Well, I know, you know,
we're drinking coffee every time we mute. So
That's fine. I'm going to do the same.
We just stay up really late and work, so that's all.
I'm sure.
We don't always stay up too late, but when we do, it's probably a weekday.
Well, and I'm sure it's always important because you guys, I mean, for listeners out there who don't know, you know, Aaron and Melissa, they've got a show here on Truth Frequency. It is on Fridays from 4 until 6 Central Time, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's later today.
Later today, as a matter of fact. So they're going to be doing pulling double duty today. And, you know, these two guys, Aaron and Melissa, are probably two of the strongest investigative researchers out there. They're very independent. They don't really, you know, they don't beat around the bush with stuff very often. So I wanted to bring you guys on so we could talk about the news a little bit today because there's a lot of stuff going on. But I do definitely encourage people to go, A, check out TrueStreamMedia.com. It's one of the best websites on the internet as far as I'm concerned. And I found out recently you guys have a new website, Nutritional Anarchy, which I guess isn't really a new website. It was just new to me, and I got all excited about it. So I went on air and said, oh, they got a new website, and it's awesome. But anyway, I would highly recommend listeners, if you guys want to learn more about Aaron and Melissa, first of all, listen to their program on TFR, fantastic information, and also check out both of those websites. I really do like the Nutritional Anarchy site. I know it's not new to the world, but it being new to me, I think it's fantastic. I love all the solution-based stuff and the, you know, the food health kind of things. I know that's kind of been your baby a little bit there, Melissa.
Yeah, we started that up with Daisy over from the Organic Prepper website.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because we'd been researching food so much it impacts so much of our daily lives in this house.
Right.
Four different people trying to eat what we have for food out there today. And so we just decided to team up with her and start a site. It doesn't get as much love as I wish. I mean, we just don't have enough time to devote to it as I wish we did.
Right.
But we're trying because we're trying to do, we want to do more solutions-based stuff. Unfortunately, people don't a lot of times tend to respond to the solutions-based stuff as much. They'd rather be scared and not know how to fix anything. But I think people are starting to respond to, and realize that we can't just run around freaking out if we have to also do something about it in our own lives.
Oh, there's no question about it. We've got to realize, even in the alternative media, that the fear-driven stories get 10 to 1 reads at least. You know, it's just crazy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And there's a lot of important, scary news out there. I mean, big stuff is happening. But we've got to remember, we don't get a vote as to who gets appointed to this corrupt government. Even, you know, even with our senators and representatives, it's just a total joke. There's no elections, obviously not with the president. And the most power goes to all these people in the agencies and stuff.
Absolutely.
And we should speak out against it. We should call BS when we see it. But we've got to remember We've got to put some of our energy and power into the things that we have some control over, any control over. Mm-hmm. And I've thought for a long time, really after discovering that the corruptions in the food industry pretty much run as deep and dark as in the rest of politics. And we've been on a personal mission to A, pay attention to what we're buying from stores and really understand what's on the label and what's not on the label. Mm-hmm. Of course, GMO being, again, just on the surface of that, and B, trying to do what we can to grow some of our own food and moving towards growing more of our own food, obviously organically, putting nutrients back into the soil and trying to raise things in a way that's going to help us stay healthy.
Well, and it's important also in my opinion, because we talk about it a lot here on our program, that the most important change that you can make in the world is the one that starts in your heart. You know, you got to change yourself first. You have to be aware of the problems and aware that there are solutions and decide that you want to go after those solutions. But then you change your heart, you can change your family, and then you can change your community. So it really is this nutritional anarchy site, to me, is an empowerment, like a grassroots empowerment website.
That means a lot to me, too, that the site is new to you. I mean, I really believe in new to you. I think thrift stores are one of the greatest things out there. And, I mean, Craigslist might be the greatest democratic success on the entire internet.
I would agree with that. I've never had anything but success with Craigslist. Never had a bad experience of all, and it's so it's great, you know. I mean, for a free site, holy cow, you know.
For every prostitute stalking serial killer, I've just never met one.
I think it gets demonized on purpose because they want to shut it down.
I don't know all the politics, but I did read that at one point they tried to buy out the Craigslist guy for $100 million or something, and he just flat out said no.
Really? I didn't know
that. That's my understanding. That could have changed in time. That was a few years ago. But my understanding was they actually turned down money to keep it grassroots. And there's so many great things that happen on Craigslist.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I got to backtrack for just a quick second here because there are a lot of people in the chat room right now. I really appreciate all you guys being in there. We are live right now, so if you want to go to Truth Frequency Radio and get into the chat room, this is kind of the whole goal of the show, is to have a forum. So if you guys have questions for myself or comments about the news or questions and comments for Aaron and Melissa, that's a great place for you guys to do that. But I wanted to backtrack real quick, and this isn't to ignore you guys for a second, but I wanted to just draw attention. The website, Red Pill Reports, has changed just a little bit. All of the social media sites, that if you guys want to follow us, like on Twitter or YouTube or Facebook, all that stuff's right at the very top of the page now. We had a very lengthy discussion yesterday with Greg Morse about the mortgage crisis. I'm not sure if Aaron and Melissa, if you guys are following what's going on with the mortgage situation right now in this country and MERS and all this stuff, but it's just another huge, corrupt, massive ball of gangbangster wax as far as I'm concerned. But for people out there,
I follow it a little bit.
Okay, you know. Well, if you guys want more information, or if you're a listener out there and you want more information, all that mortgage crisis information is right there at the top of Red Pill Reports under the mortgage crisis heading. There's also his petition, which, you know, I know a lot of people are very anti-signing petitions and things like that, but I got to tell you, Greg Morse is about the most stand-up dude. I told my dad this the other day, that Greg Morse is the mold that they make the straight arrows out of. That's how I feel about Greg Morse. And his petition is trying to get this joint session in front of Congress so we can get this mortgage crisis dealt with and hold some of these people accountable. And anyway, you can go sign that petition also directly from the top of Red Pill Reports. Also just want to throw out there, unseen.is is a great place for you guys to get free encrypted emails. And the free emails are going to be going away here really soon. We've been talking to Chris Kitsy, and they're getting ready to discontinue the free access to the unseen.is email. So if you want a decent email platform, and a chat platform, Unseen, go there. You can follow the banner at the top of Red Pill again. It's all free. That we know we don't get anything for this. But if you guys want encrypted email, Unseen and also Hushmail would be another one that I would recommend. So I just wanted to do that real quick just to get everybody up to speed on what's going on with the website. I appreciate you, Aaron and Mel, giving me a second to do that. Okay. Moving on, let's get into some news right now. I know we're going to get back over into some of the major topics that you guys are covering at TrueStream Media, but usually in the first hour, you know, we like to kind of go over all the stuff that's going on in the world, and I really like to look at, and it sounds kind of counterintuitive, but I like to look at mainstream news only because I like to figure out what they're trying to kind of spoon feed the masses, especially given the context of everything that's going on. So I'm going to kind of go over a couple of articles for you, Aaron and Mel, and listeners, obviously, and just try and get kind of your feeling on, you know, whether this is a tail wagging the dog kind of situation or what you guys are thinking about this. But first big report, I don't know if you guys are following Iraq, Aaron and Mel. I'm completely obsessed with Iraq at this point. The development of the country, everything that's going on there right now is profoundly, profoundly interesting to me. I think especially given the context of Netanyahu coming, giving his little speech on, was it Monday or Tuesday? Well, he did one on Monday and one on Tuesday, I think. So the Battle of Tikrit happened on Monday. There was a massive coalition that had nothing to do with the United States for the first time inside of Iraq. They got like 30,000 militia members together. You have to dig into some articles to find out that most of their support was actually coming from Iran, which is obviously counter to everything that Netanyahu has been saying about how evil Iran is. Tell me again, how many times have they attacked another nation in the last 100 years? Aaron, Melissa, anything on that?
Oh, not a big history there.
No, not much at all, really.
But they lost a lot of their own people in the war with Iraq, which was egged on by the West.
Mm-hmm, they did. So I found it really interesting that Netanyahu would be doing this speech, and while at the same time the U.S. is taking this incredible hands-off approach while Iraq is essentially clearing Tikrit of ISIS. And so a report came out yesterday from Yahoo saying that the Islamic State was torching some oil fields near Tikrit. And I'm thinking, okay, well, if ISIS is a build of the CIA, then of course, then that would make sense. That would be pretty much par for the course. But again, just wanted to point out that as the Islamic State, supposed rebel fighters or whatever were leaving Tikrit after they got their butts romped yesterday by Iraq and Iran. Also, I had to do a lot of digging to verify this, but Lebanon actually sent special forces from Hezbollah. So not only did we see Iran and Iraq teaming up, but we actually had Lebanese soldiers from the Hezbollah organization also teaming up. So it kind of flies in the face of all this rhetoric coming out from Netanyahu. And then I wanted to jump over to a story that came out immediately following his little speech and after this Battle of Tikrit. There was a report come out that said that the Israeli Navy has seized a shipment of rockets that was heading towards Gaza from Iran. So again, we see this story coming out that Iran is evil and they were getting ready to send all this these weapons to Gaza. And I'm just kind of, to me, the situation is there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. I think that my impression is that Obama has got Valerie Jarrett has the ear of Obama. She's, of course, one of his senior advisors. She's an Iranian national. I'm just kind of wondering, what do you guys think about what is going to happen with the nuclear pact, and what's going on with the new icy relationship between Netanyahu and Obama? Is there more going on there in your guys' opinion?
Well, the major thing I know is Brzezinski, as a very quiet Obama advisor, has reportedly had tensions with Israel all along.
Right.
Because he's kind of got more designs on Russia, which is very much happening, which makes me wonder how much he's involved. To step aside from the Iran question for a minute, the entire Arab color revolution has been a Brzezinski source, right?
Okay.
Soros patentedly behind the stuff in Eastern Europe at the end of the fall of the Soviet Union. So I think Brzezinski has been involved there, and I think there are some tensions between the Obama factions and the more kind of neocon direct ties with Israel. But, I just feel like most of the stuff with Iran has to – Netanyahu has been warning since 1992, I think I read yesterday,
right,
that they're imminently going to get the nuclear bomb. And this entire plan seems like it's an effort to isolate Iran if they possibly can, or draw it into a larger regional war with Russia and beyond. And one thing we can't let go of is it was announced back in the Bush administration, the plan to break Iraq into three pieces,
right,
Syria as well. There's been articles in the New York Times about remapping the Middle East. And to me, this is all about breaking apart the allied little tiny nations that are friendly with Iran and more in their act, and breaking it apart with horrible enemies and everything else so that the Saudi Arabia-Israeli axis can control the Middle East instead.
As they literally
remap the Middle East, which of course was just mapped in the first place, realignment after World War I, right? Mm-hmm. All the old colonies threw it all in after World War I, all the stuff happened with Lawrence of Arabia, and then they created Syria, Iraq, the rest of the stuff just wholesale. Well, sorry, not Iraq, but many of those countries, Saudi Arabia.
I just can't I can't help while you're talking thinking about that video of Hillary Clinton. I can't remember who she was sitting there with. Who was that guy? And they're cackling about how they're going to get Iran next.
Oh, right.
How many years ago was that?
That was either Baker or Schultz.
That's right. It was one of those people that...
Secretaries of State, you know, those are the Bush people.
One of those people that Jeb Bush is now surrounding himself with.
Her in-laws.
Right.
The in-laws. Of her in-laws.
Exactly.
And they're like, we're working real... She goes, we're working real hard. Hey, hey, hey. And she, oh my God, she's gonna, ugh. She's, seriously, what rock are you gonna want to go live under if
Pluto.
We have to have her.
Pluto. That's where I'm heading.
Well,
that's,
it's just, is it a planet still? I can't remember now.
Science, we won't know until later this year. Okay. We had a big article about that, actually. It was stupid. You know, there's 10,000 people that make that decision, and when they made the actual decision, there was only like 138 of them in session in the meeting when they demoted Pluto. And the actual criteria for what a planet is pretty stupid in terms of like how they actually decided that Pluto and Sirius weren't planets. I won't get into that.
The same people that are going to take away my rights, whether or not I want to vaccinate my children. People that can't decide what Pluto is. Yep. So that's good. I'm glad for that. Yay. Brontosaurus, everyone. Used to be a dinosaur. Okay.
That's right.
So, no, but that video of Hillary, I don't know. I think Hillary's
days are numbered.
I hope so, for God's sake. But I just remember that video where she's sitting there with one of Jeb Bush's good buddies that he's surrounding himself with,
Daddy Bush.
Cast of characters.
Right.
So we can just continue the whole 9/11 thing on.
May we?
Oh, do you have it?
Yeah, why don't you set it up here?
Oh, here we go.
Awesome.
Here's a video. Play it.
So this is a video of, I'm pretty sure that's James A. Baker III. It's definitely a Bush advisor, former Secretary of State. And,
let's see if we can get him to...
That, there's even tape of her saying they're working real hard on World War III.
We ought to try every possible avenue we can to see if we can get them to correct their desire and goal of acquiring a nuclear weapon. But we'll get it done the way the administration's working on it now, which I totally agree with, then we ought to take them out.
Secretary Clinton.
Wow.
We're working hard. I said at the end of the day, may be next year. It will be next year.
Can you imagine these people sitting around and cackling, laughing like that about literally thinking about the concept of murdering people? I mean,
about taking out the entire country of people.
Right. And literally cackling about it.
She's disgusting.
And
it is James
Baker. Cackling
with
Gaddafi. And I mean, that's what she does publicly.
Oh, she's
not
cackling about Gaddafi being lynched.
That's what she does
publicly.
Which
he came out because he thought he was meeting her to begin with. So they did a whole thing on him anyway. And then they hit him with a drone.
Yeah.
And that was after she had said, come meet me and surrender and everything. He thought he was Clinton and he was surrendering to a drone strike. And then she cackled about his death. I don't care who you're killing. Death is not, you don't laugh about killing anyone. That's, you're a psychopath if you do that. And the guy she's talking with is James Baker, the Council on Foreign Relations member who was George H.W. Bush's Secretary of State, his White House Chief of Staff. I mean, I don't know how much more that guy, he's also a good, he's a Bohemian Grover.
Right.
So, I mean, he's the senior counselor of the Carlyle Group who was hanging out with the Bin Ladens. There are his major investors on the day of 9/11. They were all watching it together from the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Washington, D.C. That's the guy talking right there.
I mean, I don't follow every daily detail with the stuff with Iraq and Tikrit and Iran. I do read the headlines and stuff, but the geopolitics is very suggestive enough. The layout of the map, I did a video explaining how the entire curved region that cuts through Eastern Europe, through the Middle East, and around through the Asian countries, the stands, and the top parts of China. This is all considered by geopolitics to be an arc of instability, a region of perpetual war, okay? They've got arrows going back to at least World War II suggesting, as they point together, that they're basically tectonic seismic fault lines, particularly through the Middle East, that this is just a region of contention for the purpose of the great game, the long game between Britain or the Anglosphere, which includes, and Russia. Britain and Russia, part of the great game. And it's still about that. Now we're still almost at war with Russia. And the Middle East is in many ways pawns to that. At the same time, Iran being such a large country in the Middle East with such a long history and so many people and its own sovereignty, they've of course been trying to isolate it with sanctions, these constant claims of nuclear weapons when everyone else has them. But remember the pipeline in Afghanistan, the Tapi pipeline that was going to go through, what, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and India? That was all about getting oil and resources from the Caspian Sea and bypassing Iran, bypassing Russian territories to get it back into Anglo hands. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then on the other side of things, we see that they used war right there above Iran, in between Iran and Russia, all the stuff obviously going on with Ukraine. Now they're obviously using natural gas through fracking as a weapon to try to supply Europe's energy, to cut off Russian supply of gas and oil, and try to use that as an economic weapon to isolate Russia, isolate Iran. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's the very significant Brookings Institute Witch Path to Persia. To me, this is the master blueprint, which I know Tony Carter a while back, and I saw and I've been covering ever since. Witch Path to Persia clearly signals the fact that, you know, everyone already knew that the Bush administration and the establishment wanted war at some point with Iran. It was just a matter of time. How will the dominoes play out? Witch Path to Persia shows the fact that they know it's this maze, it's this path. And they outline in their table of contents basically everything under the sun, from a coup to a velvet revolution, a color revolution, letting Israel lead the airstrikes on Iran, going all the way with outright war. They talk about overtly creating a false flag, tempting Iran into firing on U.S. or allied troops and starting a war. And they talk about, or at least hint at, going after Syria or other domino countries in order to get to Iran indirectly. And it's been stated since before the stuff with Syria started a few years ago that Syria would pretty much be the final domino before the war with Iran. And so they decided to go forward with that after Libya because they had the cover of the Arab Spring, this popular uprising, democracy has prevailed. Yeah, not exactly. I mean, look at Egypt. But the appearance of democracy in the Arab Spring gave cover for the war and the coup and the takeout and the airstrikes and the funding of jihadi groups in Libya, which then directly translated, had literal airlifts over into Syria. And they haven't finished their business in Syria, but presumably when they do, they will go for the big piece of pie with Iran at some point.
See, and that's why Jeb Bush is lining up all these same cast of characters from back in his dad's day and his brother's day,
right,
who have all, that's all they've been about, is advancing this plan for all of these years.
Well, and I gotta say too, let me just interject here, because there's a couple other articles that really relate to this right now. There was a big interview that NBC did, I think two nights ago, with the U.S. ambassador from Iran, the foreign minister, Iran's foreign minister, Javid Zarif. And he was basically trying to defend the position that, what's the guy's name, the Ayatollah guy, who's also in the hospital right now. He looks like he might be dead in the next couple of days. So right now we're looking at a pretty key weakness in Iran where, again, the The Arabic media outlets reported yesterday that the Iranian supreme leader, Khamenei, was hospitalized in critical condition. He's been in and out of the hospital with prostate cancer for a while, but there's a lot of reports saying that he's at stage four right now. Again, he's the supreme leader of Iran, and he has gone on tweet saying that he wants to annihilate Israel. But so they basically brought him onto the TV last night to try – not him, but they brought the foreign minister guy, Javid Zarif, onto the television, and they said, you know, how do you defend this particular tweet that this guy is saying that, you know, this is the leader of your country saying that they think Israel should be annihilated? And this guy, Zarif, said, well, it's not that we think Israel should be annihilated. It's that the Netanyahu regime should be annihilated. And I really think he's making a pretty good point here. And when he's talking about the difference between Zionism and Judaism, because I got into a fight in a chat room last night where people are saying, you know, Zionism is the classic anti-Semite, you know, we're going to play that card so we can basically be anti-Jewish. And I think you know, I'm looking at what these guys are saying, Iran, about Netanyahu, and they're not saying they want to destroy the Jewish population in Israel. They're saying there is a dictator and a regime that is in Israel that is romping their way around the world, and they're, you know, they're not good people, and we need to get them out of there because they're causing unrest. And to me, that is like, it's the same argument as somebody saying, you know, the United States is imperialistic and we're awful people. And then somebody coming out and saying, well, if you have that position, then you're anti-Christian. Because really, you know, fundamentally, America, whether you want to believe it or not, we have a rule of law based on morals, and that most of us associate morality with the Christian, you know, religion. So we kind of are a Christian country according to, you know, the laws that we're supposed to have. So I look at that and I think, why is there such a disconnect between people understanding the difference between Zionism and Judaism? And it's the same disconnect that I think people, you know, think don't seem to connect between the imperialistic United States and the Christian basis of the rest of us. You know what I mean? There seems to be like there's a disconnect on both sides.
And it's a convenient distortion, you know, for political purposes, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. And of course, you know, of course they're going to play it that way. It's just, yeah, it's part of their propaganda toolkit.
Right.
And it's interesting too. I don't know exactly what's going on with Khomeini, but they've historically used rumors and facts about leaders getting sick and dying as a means of partially destabilizing the countries too,
right,
or poisoning them for it.
Mm-hmm.
And just by the way, since I mentioned color revolutions, remember they tried to do one in Iran. They tried to do the Twitter revolution in Iran with people on the streets who were probably paid people before they even did it in Egypt. It didn't work, but they tried it. But remember too, during the Arab uprising, when Mubarak left office, when he was ousted in the Egyptian revolution, he also suddenly had a stroke. And so did Ben Ali from Tunisia right when he left office. He just happened to have a coma.
It's amazing coincidences how those things just pay out. All right.
Very stiff.
We got to go to a 3-minute break. Aaron Dykes, Melissa Melton are our guests today. We're going over all the news. It's a crazy Friday around here. Thank you guys for being here. Thanks for being in the chat room. We're going to be right back. 3-minute break, guys. Keep it right here.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at PreventUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Squared Radio with Brooks Atkins.
Sunday on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. It is a very special Friday here at redpillreports.com, and we are joined today, figuratively, in the studio by the one and only Aaron Dykes and the other one and only Melissa Melton of TruthStream Media. And we're just kind of going over the news and doing some bantering back and forth and trying to figure out just exactly what the hell is going on this rock as we're traveling through space. And we were talking before the break with you guys about, the situation in the Middle East, all this stuff that's kind of going on between Libya and Syria right now. How much do you guys think this Libya situation, since it seems to be kind of bleeding out of the woodwork even more now, is going to affect Hillary's ability to run? Or do you think that's Hillary's biggest problem right now? Or do you think this email thing is going to be bigger?
Well, they always seem to go for the surface stuff. The email has definitely taken over the news cycle. And it's pretty clear that there's probably Republican opponents who are pushing these issues because it's an election. But I want to point out that up on TruStream, we just posted an article, while Clinton hid the emails, $6 billion went missing in her State Department.
Man, if only they had some kind of like computer system or like a spreadsheet that they could track that stuff, you know?
Wouldn't that be if they weren't just using, smoke signals and pigeon carrier pigeons? Like, it'd be so much better if we had technology.
Well, and the other thing is, all these departments, obviously the State Department is enormous. They're supposed to have an inspector general who specifically is supposed to hold the department accountable, track reports, spending, especially contracts between government contractors, a lot of times which accidentally end up being people's spouses or lobbyist friends.
I hate when that happens.
And apparently, the State Department had the longest absence in American history for an inspector general, directly overlapping Hillary Clinton's reign as Secretary of State.
Whoops.
For 5 years, well, really for six, I guess, right before she got there, there was a vacancy in the inspector general position, and the entire time she was Secretary of General, meddling in all these countries, doing God knows what with places that don't matter, like Benghazi and Libya, there was just no one keeping track of
Okay.
And they finally did appoint an inspector general once John Kerry took over. He immediately found $6 billion unaccounted for just in war contracts in Iraq. That's without looking elsewhere.
Okay, so I just want to backtrack here just to make sure I get this clear, because my brain's a little muddy. You're saying that the person that would have been accountable for holding all of Hillary's business, making sure all of her stuff was straight and narrow, that position was vacant the entire time she was in office? And who was?
For 6 years.
For 6 years. And okay, so the questions that I have are, is that the only time that's ever been a vacant position in our, do we know how many times has that been a vacant position in our country?
Apparently it's a growing trend. The Project on Government Oversight, they run a whole tracker system, and okay. I think they're the ones who discovered the State Department issue. They posted this in 2012, which is a year before she left office, and then another 8 or 9 months before this became a news item. And they had found that the State Department was the longest, more than 4 years at the time. Then it ended up being a total of 6 years. But there were seven other inspector general positions that were vacant for more than a year at some point during the Obama administration.
Right. Who's responsible for, obviously
she doesn't
pick her own boss. So who's supposed to put somebody in that position?
Well, that's a good question. I guess it would be an Obama somebody, huh?
Yeah, you would think so, right? Okay.
Or maybe she gets to pick her best friend. I don't know.
But they didn't even have the appearance of somebody.
Not even the
they had nobody.
Of and obviously there's so much corruption anyway. We know the Pentagon lost $2.3 trillion and all these departments. But this is not even money wasted on BS parties or events with lobbyists. This isn't even flights on private jets that are kind of rationalized. This is just money that's unaccounted for.
Well, I bet
contracts went to people and there's just not even records for it.
You have to assume that $6 billion would be enough to buy you a war in Libya, would you not?
Yeah, or secretly fund an army, whatever. And apparently the State Department just, they were very bad at turning in paperwork disclosing these contracts.
Who knows
where the money went.
There was only some way we could apply technology to the State Department and just take care of all this stuff.
And you know how it goes too. I mean, an inspector general can't get too curious. He'll end up dead. Like, well, who's the auditor who was going to run for governor in Missouri?
In Missouri.
Schweip. I can't think of his name, but it's S-C-H-E-I-W-B.
If we don't carry out a secret audit on him, he might audit us.
It was Tom Schweitz.
Yes. And he had just called the news like an hour before he allegedly what he shot himself in the head or something.
It was 7 minutes before he allegedly shot himself. He had called a reporter he'd been talking to secretly at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, but he had also called Associated Press, and so both of these organizations were supposed to come to his house later that afternoon. Actually, he was alleging that his own political party was turning against him and trying to spread whisper campaigns about him. And he had just got done auditing everybody. I think he even sued the Democratic governor of Missouri, who is totally a corporatist, business as usual guy.
Right.
And then he had just announced he was going to run for governor in January. So this was not somebody who was then going to call the press and then shoot himself.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
It's so blatantly open what they're doing now these days with this kind of stuff. And they just expect if they tell you enough about it in the news, just a little bit here and there, you'll be like, wow, that's really suspicious. I don't know. Right. And then they'll just change the subject and no one will ever talk about it again or do anything about it. So.
Well, and that's kind of the issue right now. I mean, we're at a position now where even given, have you guys ever seen as many scandals as we have in Washington? I mean, seriously, there's so many things.
You can't keep
track of it. No. And there's nobody, it seems, in a position that gives a crap and wants to do anything about it. I mean, who are we going to look at? Holder? Is he really? I mean, come on. So like really, the whole Justice Department.
Against the Second Amendment.
Right. It's like the whole Justice Department is basically gutted anyway. So who are we supposed to be looking for to hold these people accountable, really, you know? I don't know.
There isn't anybody. And that's the thing. What really, I think what really needs to happen is that people need to realize that, I mean, yeah, maybe in your local election, you have some kind of a voice. If you go vote locally for this guy or that guy to do whatever. But once you start getting up into the state level, they're killing people. And once you get to the federal level, what is it, MK Ultra, everyone? I mean, everybody seems like they're completely on the take, mind control, corrupt. And psychopaths, I mean, and nothing you say, your vote doesn't, and they've done studies that actually literally show that your vote, even if it wasn't corrupt, which it totally is, I pretty much believe we don't elect presidents in this country, we select them.
Of course.
Obviously. So, but they've even done studies to show that your individual vote, even if it did work the way it's supposed to work, still doesn't actually count.
Well, it can't count. I mean, the whole point is that we don't have a government. We have a corporation that's masquerading as a government. When was the last time a for-profit corporation used a popular election to pick their president? It's never happened. This guy is a CEO president. That's why if you listen to his speeches, if you listen to them from the perspective of a stockholder, they make a lot of sense. Same thing with George Bush, same thing with Clinton. That's who they're talking to. They're talking to their stockholders. They're not talking to us. It's a for-profit corporation. For-profit corporations don't elect via popular election their presidents. That's just not how it works. So.
It just continues to be sad to see us lose energy as good people, alternative media people, good people in the general public who care about some of this continue to pour their energy into trying to pick a candidate who's going to change things. I don't think so. You know, I ended up reporting on this in a video I did recently about technology, and we've been looking over the manifesto that the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, wrote about all the destruction of technology. And for some reason, I ended up cross-referencing that, just stumbling upon some stuff Thomas Jefferson had written, a quote he had written, in turn analyzing ancient Roman history. Hmm. And Thomas Jefferson was writing a letter to John Adams. They exchanged a lot of letters in their later years, even though they had been political enemies. But they were writing about how Caesar was so corrupt, you know, he had transformed the Republic into a dictatorship, made himself emperor. He had crossed the Rubicon, so to speak. And of course, Brutus had led the Senate, the oligarchy, really, their conspiracy to murder Caesar and stop the dictator, right? Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it didn't stop the dictatorship because Caesar's people fought a battle, they won, and then there was the whole dynasty of Caesars. But even if they had, would Brutus and other freedom lovers, or at least republic lovers, have even stopped the tyranny that had happened in ancient Rome? Or for that matter, what about Cato or Cicero or other philosophical minds that were very freedom loving, that represented freedom, at least in their statements and their writings, no matter how good of men they really were, right? Mm-hmm. And Jefferson's conclusion, which John Adams agreed with, was probably not even the most freedom loving person on the planet could have transformed Caesar's dictatorship back into a great republic that was full of freedom again, because the people themselves had become so corrupt. And of course, the system was ultra corrupt. The institution itself had become a total fixture of corruption. And obviously the system wasn't perfect to begin with, but the mindset of the people, they were not educated in ways of freedom. They had become a mob, you know, to be thrown bread and circuses at and so forth. You know, there was different stages of the decline, but they said there was a conundrum that even if they had Cicero, Cato, some freedom-loving voice in there, it would have taken a couple generations to get the people to catch up to speed with what the philosophical thoughts on government is. And that's definitely part of the problem we face today. Technology is going to run away probably in 5 years from now, maybe unstoppably. And in that time, our system of government isn't a system of government. It's a corporate corruption nest of vipers and everything else.
Yeah.
And the public remains largely ignorant. There's a coterie of us in the alternative media who are mostly onto the bigger picture. We're still learning too. Mm-hmm. We're in a real race to turn things around. Hopefully someday, you know, hopefully we can leave the right record someday and someone will be re-inspired if we can't do it in our lifetimes or our heirs' lifetimes.
Well, I mean, here's hoping, brother. When it comes down to it, for me, it's, we have to keep talking about this stuff. We have to keep pointing out the fact that, that the corporate entity is running everything, and that's, that it permeates through just about all of our lives.
People say there's a consciousness shifting too, and we're going to be thinking of things differently, and this is going to transform it all. I don't really understand how that works. I mean, I hope so, but.
Oh, I think it's absolutely happening. I mean,
I can see it happening.
I can see it happening also. Some of the people that I've spoken with recently, I've got a good friend of mine named Marsha who listens to the show, and she is like, she's in her 60s, and she came out of a revival Baptist, went to the churches the tent revival church every weekend in Alabama, you know. And she came to me, and we were talking about, something, just random news stuff. And she just asked me kind of point blank what I thought about, holistic spirituality and all of this kind of stuff. And she was like, you know, I'm really coming around on understanding where spirituality comes from, the Bible, and all of this kind of how everything is connected and how thoughts of energy and it's all frequency. And I almost like fell out of my desk. I was just like, wow, this is amazing for somebody. When they say, you look at the movie The Matrix, they say, you know, it's sometimes you get to a point where you're too old to be woken up. And I think that's a pretty accurate metaphor, because just like you're talking about, we've all been conditioned, and holy, holy, holy heck have we been conditioned through every single, through the TV, the news, the entertainment, the food, everything from the day you were born, conditioned to deal with this society in profound and very subtle ways. So to see people like that, that are old and older, having spiritual awakenings, or even just being able to say, wow, I think that whole 9/11 thing maybe deserves another look. I gotta say, that bolsters my confidence that there is a consciousness shifting happening. And I'm a big believer of the collective consciousness, just because I've studied a lot about it. And I think that science kind of proves that we are all connected in a conscious
way.
Well,
in the history of inventors and the idea of the 100th monkey,
definitely
exactly. Evidence there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, you know, we've looked a little bit into frequency. I mean, in particular, in terms of inventors like Royal Raymond Rife. We did a video not too long ago on Leo Baranski, who is a completely new name to me. I heard about it through a William S. Burroughs book, but we looked it up, and he had his own separate inventions and experiments based on the unified field theory, and had some practical inventions that could be used for good, to create new unlimited energy for the body, expand the mind. He was in experimental phases with that. It could also be used for evil as a military weapon. because he was working for military contractors, that's probably what happened to his technology. He had an untimely, suspicious death.
All of these guys do.
It was all based on frequency, and I'm not quite far enough along to be the teacher on it, but I do know that we researched it enough that it does seem like very much more than just rhetoric, and it's a lot more than just speculation that these people may have been onto something, that there's other ways of harvesting.
There's all kinds of evidence. I've been reading science books that were written at the turn of the 20th century, and there's all kinds of evidence that they just deleted large portions of our knowledge just straight out of all of science, especially having to do with the ether, which was a concept that was part of scientific research at that time, and it was well understood that space is not empty, it's filled with something. But they deleted all of that out. And when Tesla happened, they deleted a lot of it out.
Right.
Leading up to anything that would lead to the discoveries he was making. Because you can actually, I mean, lately I've been reading about all these different ways to heal yourself using the biofield around your body. I mean, I've gone way past Aaron on this. He's like, you just read about that and tell me about it later, because we have different things we study. But I'm telling you, we all have the power to heal our own bodies.
Yes.
Using things like sound waves.
Imagine
It's, yeah. Well, everything in your body runs on, I mean, what do you think makes your heartbeat, or a signal that, a thought you have is an electrical signal that's just bouncing around in your brain? I mean, we're all electricity. I mean, it's what we are. So,
which is frequency.
Why really? Wouldn't we be allowed? Absolutely. It's frequency. Everything is frequency. Everything vibrates. Every right. single thing. So why wouldn't we be able to affect our bodies? And we all know this. I mean, we all know it, that they use certain sound waves that you can't hear on parts of your body to break up, what, kidney stones? I mean, they're already doing this.
Right.
So we know that. So why wouldn't you be able to use audible sound to also do the same thing?
Well, you can. I mean, look at Sherry Edwards' work. If you guys go and look, I don't know if you've talked to her at all, but she's amazing. She's one of these people. She's developed a computer program that can listen to the frequency of your voice. Like, she'll record a 30 seconds of you talking, and she will analyze your voice from a spectral.
This.
It's amazing. So if you're missing, you know, you're supposed to have the full voice spectrum. You're supposed to have all the notes represented, you know, in your speech. And so she'll use a computer program to pick out which particular tones you're short on, and then can correlate that with whatever kind of ailment you've got. And she can also use frequency. Like, she'll take a cure of a disease that's, a certain pill compound. Well, that compound resonates at a certain frequency. So she's discovered that you can just play that frequency, and your body will have the same response as if it had taken that particular compound.
They'll try to kill, like, unfortunately, they will try to wipe her out. Every person that has ever come up in that way against Big Pharma has been wiped out. Whatever Rockefeller instituted in that regard, they wiped out everything that could go. And so what we actually know about ourselves and about reality, it's all contrived. I mean, the more I learn, the more I realize I know nothing. I know nothing.
I mean, I got to say this, not even from a skeptic's point of view, but as someone who's not completely fully informed and up to speed on that, obviously they're using everything from infrared to ultrasound to long-range acoustical devices as a weapon and a tool of science and a tool of military and a tool of government, yet all these other ways of using sound frequency as a tool and a weapon, if you will, for healing or for enlightenment or for other kind of non-military applications, it's immediately pushed to the fringe, discounted as kind of neither here nor there.
Yeah, if you use inaudible sound.
But we're just, and we're not told the truth, even though we can find this ourselves as laymen.
Figure it out.
And we still are forced to cling to this horrible system of allopathic medicine, of domination by pharmaceuticals.
They rip out your organs.
Obamacare. This is going to change everything.
Absolutely. It could. This could change this kind of stuff. This kind of knowledge could change the entire world. I mean, we're told that it's scientific fact that inaudible sound can break up kidney stones and it can help you. But if you start talking about using audible sound, then you're that crazy alternative medicine person. You don't know what you're talking. That's just hoo-ha. Like, why would that not make sense? Why does it not logically
Because
follow?
It's free and it's not profitable.
I think the suppression is so extreme because we're probably at the point where one man, if he knew what he was doing, could probably create an empire in his garage in terms of
Social media and computers and spreading the knowledge.
The computers and also using the science of frequency and stuff like this to create every device that's necessary. I mean, you could create the devices to run all of society in a very beneficial way. You know, probably one person could figure it out if they were given the tools.
This is why our government has, what, 4,500 or 5,400? I sometimes get those numbers mixed. Hidden patents that they've censored. That right. When somebody tries to get a patent for their invention, they say, oh, this is national security. If you even talk about this, you'll go to federal prison for 20 years. So better not talk about that. And they get shut down. I mean, if we want to, science is so important. We want to share that with everyone. Then why does our government hide new scientific discoveries?
Yeah.
Under the label of national security, which they pretty much use to do anything ever.
And meanwhile, you're right. We have been conditioned. We've been conditioned to accept science itself as a new religion. Mm-hmm. There's all these Facebook memes like, I effing love science and all this stuff. I know lots of people in my personal life who love to argue about how great science is, and they always rest their laurels on these official scientific positions, but are clueless or dismissive of the other stuff, okay? That kind of is anti-establishment and all the progress in technology and science that we see embraced by the public, celebrated with near spiritual, bliss is control technology. That's the only thing that seems to come out. Sure, the iPhones and everything are very convenient, very neat little toys. They can do very cool tricks, but absolutely a tracking grid technology along with everything else we've seen on the market.
Well, and that's really what it comes down to. We were just talking about why, you know, this, technology is hidden or, and then promoted, you know, those two
choices.
Where's
the science for freedom?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, that's, and it comes back to this whole corporation government thing and their desire to spread democracy around the world instead of spreading liberty. You know, that's the position that we should be in. We should be spreading liberty. We should be using the technology. I'm not anti-science. The more I study science, the more I believe that it's showing pretty specifically that there is a bigger force out there that we can't figure out. And that is, you know, enough for me to just be humbled in that. I know. You know, science really kind of is starting to prove that there is a spiritual aspect to the universe, and that's
there absolutely is. But even if I, as an individual, failed to connect spiritually, if I could run 5 acres with science and create all the food, energy, and electricity, and my personal needs for me and my family, and even my community, without us having to go to war for oil, kill people in the Middle East, create lies and corruption, and a whole sphere of vipers. We don't need any of that stuff.
I agree. We should be, I still keep saying we should be out trying to foment liberty everywhere. And we have the technology. I think that's what people are so irritated about now. And it's not just the whole collective consciousness waking up. It's the waking up to the fact that we've been lied to and misused in terms of, you know, they promised us 10-hour work weeks when all this technology came out. It was going to save us all this time. It's going to be a utopia. But that's not what happened. Everybody's now more glued to their phones than they've ever been before. We've ramped up the quote-unquote efficiency, you know, coefficient for the people. But we haven't got any benefit in terms of humanity from the technology that we've got. And we have the technology on the planet right now to have limitless energy. We could completely remove scarcity. There's no reason to be, you know, using the lie of competition or the lie of profit to go out and cause real death and harm and destruction to people who live on the planet and the planet itself, which is exactly what we're doing right now. So, you know, I don't know how to make the change, but I'm hoping the right people get in touch with the right technology. And then they like, look at what Tesla's doing. That guy, I mean, say what you want to about the multi-billionaire aspect, but man, he is, you know, he gave all his Tesla patents away. He's really trying to, I think, to basically cut the middleman out of the control grid. And I hope there's other people out there that are going to be doing similar things.
There is the possibility to spread it with the internet. I hope it happens.
Right. Okay. Well, let's jump back into some news. We're kind of coming up on another break here right now. But there are a couple of other things going on. Obviously Ukraine still in the news right now. We had a story the other day, I think yesterday, that Barack had gone ahead and extended the sanctions against, certain people in Russia there for another year. The EU Council last night came out and they decided they're doing the same thing. So again, we'll see more sanctions against Russia now. Gazprom got a little bit of payment. They got paid for 5 days worth of gas to the Ukraine. So obviously there's a lot of, goofiness going on in Ukraine right now with Joe Biden's son coming in and taking over the board of directors for the largest, you know,
that's
natural
my
gas
favorite.
Producer there. That's your favorite coincidence?
Yeah,
that's
I'm just
come out
really
of this?
Glad that he's going to be doing that.
It's nice
I
that
think,
he's found a place to call home.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm glad that this is creating jobs, American jobs.
Well, the thing that really pissed me off yesterday, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, but they have the audacity now. They announced this yesterday. The government in Kiev, the junta government there, is creating an agency now for modernization of Ukraine. And first of all, the Orwellian title just pissed me off. Because again, we're talking about white people that live in townhouses that have faster internet than we do, or at least they did until all this crap went down. But honest to God, these people had better internet. They don't need modernization. So what happened? Okay, George Soros paid our $6 billion to go and destabilize the people there, right? Mess up the hearts and the minds. They've driven the economy into ruin. The hryvnia is down to about 4 cents right now compared to the dollar. So it's like 60% off. And so we're watching the same slow motion, the same, we're going to go in, we're going to destabilize because they have resources. We're going to put our government in. We're going to crash the economy. We're going to sanction those notes so nobody outside of the country can buy the hryvnia now. And then we're going to continue to hedge our way towards war. And that seems to be what's going on in the Ukraine right now. And I don't understand why a lot of people just can't see that and say, wow, this is getting, you know, we're right on the precipice of something really bad. Because Russia came out yesterday and said they got no problem going to war in the Ukraine. They have no problem there. I mean, a lot of people probably don't know about the Shanghai Corporation organization as well. We've been talking a little bit about that on the air. And I don't want to just drop this subject on you because obviously Ukraine has got a lot of things and we've got like a minute until we have to go to the break. But, I mean, do you guys see us as hedging towards war here in
Absolutely.
A really
this,
huge way?
This has been the plan for a long time. They want to revive the Cold War. The guy who runs NATO has even come out to say that. And I think people need to look at the fact that why are key people from the American, Georgian, and Lithuanian governments getting all of the key jobs in the new Ukraine government? It's not Ukrainians.
Why is Joe Biden's son leading a fracking gas exploration company?
Yeah, there's
in
no back padding going on there. I mean, the whole thing is a scam.
Yeah,
obviously.
I agree. I think they're trying to get them into NATO, and I just I don't know what that path is going to look like, and it freaks me out a little bit. We got to go to a break, guys. We're going to be back in 3 minutes. We'll go over some more news, and we're going to get into a couple of stories that Aaron and Melissa have been working on over at TrueStream Media as well. One of the big ones is this whole fracking thing. There's a whole another dirty side to fracking that people haven't even thought about. Oh, my God. We're doomed. We'll be right back.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
You are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
We are TFR. TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for being here today and for tuning in to our very special Friday broadcast. We are joined today by Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton, and we're basically just goofing off today. We're going through the news. We are going to cover some more topics here. We were talking about Ukraine before we went to the break, but I want to highly recommend you guys check out their show also on Truth Frequency Radio. It will be today, a little later this afternoon, between 4 and 6 Central Time. On Truth Frequency, I also recommend you guys check out both of their websites, truthstreammedia.com and nutritionalanarchy.com, the new one that's just popped onto the internet. we were talking about Ukraine before we went to the break, but I gotta backtrack for just a second because I wanna go over a little bit of news here right now that is, completely away from that. Well, not really completely away from that, but a little bit. One of the things I try and do every day on the show for the listeners is just kinda go over some of the economic news that's going on. And, I had to stop right now because there are some major, major things happening in the economy right now. And I know, Aaron and Melissa, you guys may not care about this right now, but the euro is down against the dollar hugely right now. The euro is absolutely being taken to the woodshed. We are at 108.57 right now. That is about a 1.5% drop just since yesterday. And that is, I've never seen the euro that low in my life. Bitcoin is up right now at 269. So a little bit of safe haven buying going on there. Let's check out the Dow. The Dow is down 200 points right now. We're sitting at below 18,000, so 17,945. And this is the other crazy story. Not only is the euro slammed down right now, the dollar index is ridiculously high. We're at 97.68. I know that there's been a higher dollar index in the world in the past, but I'll tell you what, that seeing the dollar potentially coming on par with the euro is an astounding, astounding move, especially given the fact that the dollar is so strong and we don't see a lot of movement in gold. Gold actually, huge drops. Oh my God, this is huge also. We're $30 down in gold today, so 11.67. So somebody out there that's a lot smarter than me, we're not seeing a drop in crude. Crude is still sitting right at about $50. Brent's still sitting right at about $60. So we're not taking any, commodity losses there. Why then, with the Dow dropping the way it is, with the euro dropping, nobody's putting anything in European markets right now, and with the dollar index so high, what in the heck is going on with the price of gold? Because I don't understand that at all. I used to think that there was this whole supply and demand thing, fundamentals that had to do with economics. I lately have been schooled that that is not the case at all. So,
well, apparently the fundamentals don't matter since they're now getting negative interest rates for major holdings, in government bonds, also in corporations. I think Nestle's one of them that are offering people negative interest rates where you basically pay to get a little less than you invested, because they're seen as safe havens. Of course, the Greece thing is affecting Europe. Swiss decoupled from the euro. They went sovereign with their stuff. And the U.S. dollar's trading high, reaching parity with the euro, which for years traded at like...
it's like 140, 150, man.
Yeah, well, I was used to seeing it more like 135. But still, yeah, I mean, very high up there. Not quite as high as the pound had been. Actually, a stronger dollar hurts U.S. exports. Pretty much is going to drive imports.
Which is good, because the only thing we're exporting right now is energy anyway, which is also dismally low compared to where it was last year.
Yeah, well.
Well, here's
behind
another.
Behind all that is the unseen currency war. They admit it's going on. QE3 all around the world has created a kind of silent but deadly currency war. They're trying to take down Russia with the currency war. Mm-hmm. And China has announced that they're emerging with the one world currency.
Not only announced it, dude, they're buying billboards and putting them up at all major cities around the Southeast Asia. No, seriously, if you fly into Bangkok.
Have you seen the billboards?
Yeah.
I've seen them.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, in Bangkok. They're announcing themselves as the new world currency. And people, you know, say what you will about the IMF, but they are moving to China next year. China is going to be, I think, the renminbi will be the new world currency. I think China is so fed up with all of the, I mean, look at all of the investment banking stuff that's going on, man. Scottish Bank yesterday, they're getting rid of all but 25% of their investment team. They're firing 14,000 of 18,000 employees. They're contracting their bank back from like 39 countries down to 3. I mean, all of these major banks are, I think, personally being handed their hat by some of the other global community, you know.
And our investment continues to be Federal Reserve dollars giving, you know, free to cheap money to everyone, but China and also Russia have been stockpiling gold.
Oh, huge.
Now, you ask about the gold price. That's part of the deal is supposedly China's been suppressing the gold prices so they can just stockpile it in their armored whatever at extremely cheap prices. And, I don't know how that reflects the spot price, but I know that they're going to be in a position to even potentially back their currency with gold, or at least know that the sovereign country, China, has all this gold as they issue this new world currency.
And a lot of our debt.
They do.
I mean, I think all of the money that we have in this world, the paper printed money, I mean, we have what, global derivatives market at $1.2 quadrillion?
Eight times the value of the GDP of the entire planet. That's what it is.
If you stacked that in U.S. dollar banknotes, I just looked this up actually. It would stretch from Kennedy Space Center to the planet Venus three times. Three times!
What is
okay?
that? Like, is that hundreds or is that singles or what is that?
$1 banknotes.
Okay.
It's a stack of 1.2 quadrillion $1 banknotes would stretch from Kennedy Space Center to Venus three times. Nearly three times. So, at this point, the whole thing is such ridiculous nonsense. I mean, if you can stretch it to Venus three times, I think we're good. Like, and in this country, they're just gonna continue to let, the college loan bubble fester. They're right. saying that it's going to, it's like $1 trillion now, right?
1.2 trillion.
1.2. Actually, I think I saw 1.3.
It wouldn't surprise me because the 1.2 was like a week and a half ago. So, I mean, it's obviously compound interest is well at work.
So they're saying that's going to double in the next decade because you have all these people who realize now, oh, I have a 4-year degree, but it really doesn't mean anything since I work at Denny's.
Right.
That's the only job I can get. I'm going to go back to school and get another degree that will also probably be, I got 3 college degrees and guess what? This is my job. Well, I chose this job and I started my own business, but the point is, it's this, or I guess I could go take my 3 degrees and get a job at the local grocery store. I mean, that's pretty much what's up. So
I agree. I don't want to give any financial advice here either, but it is very important to note that none of those loan contracts that any of you people signed out there for your student loans are valid. They're not enforceable in law because of contract law. Because what they did is they told you that you come in, you say, I'm going to borrow $6,000 to go, you know, to school. And Mr. Banker guy goes, oh, that's a coincidence. I've got $6,000 on deposit from all of our other depositors back in the vault, and I'd be happy to lend that to you. And you think, okay, so I signed my promissory note, and the guy goes back in the vault and gets the money and brings it to you. That's not how it works at all. What actually happens is they monetize your promissory note. So when they tell you, yes, we have the money and we'll give it to you, they're lying to you because that means that contract is not valid. So there's no reason at all, once you understand the way fractional reserve lending works, once you understand the way contract law works.
Sorry.
No, but it's true. It is our fault for not understanding, but there's certainly
our fault for learning from cartoons that these cartoon characters actually carry bags of
money. Yeah, but they're going around and getting all these 18-year-olds to sign on to this who have absolutely no idea. They probably don't even have a credit card to their name.
Right.
So they can go to school. And then they always have that day when you go to college, they always have that one day every year where all the credit card companies get to come in and you walk around in the little tents and they give you a pin with their name on it and sign you up for a bunch of credit cards. They're basically taking advantage of a bunch of teenagers who go to school thinking, this is what I got to do to get a real job and become a productive member of society. I got to go to school. And they come in there and they parasitically feed off of all of these ignorant children. I mean, I was one of them. So, I mean, you know, I'm talking from experience here. And you have no idea what it's like to sign on for tens of thousands of dollars of debt as a way of starting your life. No wonder no one's buying a house or a car, or getting married. All of those things are down in this country. I mean, there's obviously other moral issues going on there too, but all of these things are down and they're saying, oh, it's just these millennials think they're so entitled. No, they don't have anything.
Yeah.
The Generation X, I'm Generation X. We started out with six times the debt that our parents had and way less opportunity. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then say, oh, well, why didn't you do something like I did back in my day? Yeah. Back in your day, milk didn't cost $4 a
exactly. gallon. Exactly. Or you were paid in silver.
No offense. Hello. Yeah. Come on. I mean, you weren't even, the landscape was totally different.
Yeah.
There were jobs here because not everything was shipped to China, okay?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's pretty ridiculous to hold up the same standards. So the whole thing is going to completely implode. I'm sure that they know it because none of these people are going to be able to find any meaningful employment. I mean, they're saying, oh, we got to keep up with the global economy. We need more people. Science and technology, engineering and math. We already have 50% more people with those degrees than we have jobs to give them.
Right.
And then you have places like Microsoft with Bill Gates saying, we need to have all this amnesty and then lay off a whole bunch of people so they can get the amnesty and come in and trade off all their jobs for people they can pay a lot less to. That is what's going on. And all the big corporations are in on it. So the middle class being systematically wiped out, it's already completely obliterated. And whatever's going on with this here is going to be a nightmare. And that's before you even leave the borders of the country to go see what's going on with the euro and all this other stuff.
Right.
It's insane. So $1.2 quadrillion, I mean, they're going to have to start making up terms to come up with these large numbers.
Because
I remember when $1 million seemed like a lot. It's like that joke from Austin Powers.
Yeah.
$1 million. And everyone's like, $1 million? What are you talking? You know, that's stupid. What? Oh, okay. $100 billion. You know, so it's like that. Used to be $1 million was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, oh, well, $1 trillion is whatever. Whatever. Who even knows what a trillion, can you even envision $1 trillion in your mind? You know?
I'm trying.
I mean, well, it's hard.
And the flip side of that too, I know the older generations, my dad, my granddad, they're very financially prudent. They worked in insurance, you know, they're very much like, you gotta build up your pension and invest in the money market and save your money and get all this insurance. The way it works today is the leverage buyout firms trade your pension money on the derivatives market.
Yep.
It's not there when you need it, or maybe you can hope some of it's there. And now with these negative interest rates, I was just reading about the negative interest rates are going to directly impact both pensions and insurance because obviously they're based on that money being there down the road and it's not going to be there. There's going to be shortages built in just from the interest rate, not to mention, oops, we invest somewhere else.
And it's gone.
and yet we're being forced, you know, we're now forced to buy auto insurance.
Right.
That's its own tyranny. And we're now forced to buy health insurance. Not even the coverage I want anyway. But, is it even going to be there when you need it? Well, we've heard otherwise from other socialized countries. We'll see what happens on that one.
Oh, I can hardly wait. I was thinking about this other article that I read last night too. They did CNBC, they do like, the stock market, here's how to invest your money kind of things. And, they're talking about the new 7-year car loans that are coming out. So we're talking not only about the mortgage or the student loan crisis, but the subprime auto loan market right now is just about as bad as the subprime, home loan industry was before 2008. So a lot of people are really concerned about that, but they actually went on CNBC yesterday. not once and not twice, but three different segments they dedicated to this particular topic. And they're suggesting that people go ahead and take out these 7-year car loans, the 73-month loans, and instead of buying a car, go ahead and invest that money back in the stock market. How desperate do you think these people are getting right now for infusions of new cash in the stock market right now, if that's what they're suggesting on CNBC? I mean, that's
startling. Yeah, I saw those headlines too. It's crazy. And is this a satanic selling your soul for earthly promises trick? I mean, what, we're trading for all these shiny things, buying things we can't afford, so money on the derivatives market, and the whole thing is sickening.
It is.
I don't know what else to say.
I hear you.
My financial literacy is moderate.
I gotcha. Well, I'm going to bring you up to speed on one other thing right now, because this article came across my desk, and this might actually be somewhat important, because I think what we're talking about right now too is that obviously this negative interest rate thing is a big deal. They're trying to dissuade people from keeping their money in the banks, and especially they're really targeting corporations right now and some of the short-term accounts. A lot of the accounts that they're targeting with the negative interest rates are accounts that only act for about 10 days. You keep your money in there for a short period of time so that you've got more access to liquidity. And so that's exactly what these accounts are, especially overseas. But anyway, all the major global banks right now, as of this week, as of the 3rd, allegedly, are now Basel III compliant. So what does that mean? That means that the world's 224 major international banks now meet the risk-based capital requirements under the tougher Basel III banking regulations, which essentially means they've had to massively increase their holdings so that they will hopefully event a Cyprus-style event with bail-ins. But at the same time, I feel like with some of the legislation that has been passed recently that they are absolutely gearing up for a bail-in type situation here in the country, and that maybe this whole Basel III requirement and getting us to this point was just kind of the smokescreen. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we got Basel III and we should all be good. Oh, but we forgot about the $18 quadrillion in outstanding derivatives and nobody can be that prepared. But anyway, that announcement was made. I don't know what it means to you guys, if anything, but Basel III compliance at all the major central banks around the world right now. Hopefully that's actually a good thing. But again, just like you guys, it remains to be seen. And then of course we've got the European Union starting on Monday with their big quantitative easing program, starting to spend, what, $60 billion a month. I think they're going to be purchasing of government bonds there, which is probably why we see the euro crashing so handedly today. I don't know. What do you guys think about any of that? If anything.
You know, it's like that dream where it's all, you got all that stuff in your hands and you finally got the prize you were after and you wake up and it's just not there.
Right.
It's,
Nice.
That's pretty accurate. Okay. Well, let me move on here. I just want to say real quick, the Baltic Dry Index is up today, 561. That's about 2 points up from the day before. So we are starting to see some products getting moved around the world, which I guess is a good thing.
So what has been your take on the whole shutdown of the longshoremen, West Coast, you know, stuff, you know, basically the protests?
Well, you know,
union protests, right?
It is a union protest, and you have to wonder who do the unions support in terms of our administration? Could this have been something that the administration was trying to do to, to weaken the economy or to strengthen the dollar a little bit? I also kind of wonder if it was a lot. If maybe China had something to do with it, maybe China's decided there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes economically, guys. And I don't want to get into a whole lot of it right now because some of it is conjecture and things like that. And, you know, I told you guys earlier that I follow Iraq really closely. So just as an example, Iraq 2 weeks ago decided they're yanking the 50 dinar notes off the streets. Okay. What other nation in the world is contracting their money supply right now? Look at what the ECB is doing. Look at what we're doing. Every central bank around the world right now is printing to oblivion, except for Iraq. So there are a lot of things, I think, going on economically between Iraq and China, and also with the BRICS organizations. I think the BRICS organizations are much more profound than people understand.
Absolutely.
Because as soon as that alternate SWIFT system comes in, those countries have now skirted the sanctions from the IMF. They are absolutely free and clear to do whatever the hell they want. Mm-hmm. And that makes leverage. That makes the BRICS currency and the BRICS nations incredibly powerful, in my opinion. And so I don't know about the shutdown. I kind of wonder if it was potentially China trying to apply some pressure on
the
United
States.
It was
George Soros just recycling the people from the Ferguson protests that he paid for in 83 cities. So... his people and sets it all up and does that wherever he wants because he has millions of dollars and that's what he does.
Right.
So this is my thoughts on it. We'll find out in a few, every time I write lately for the last several years about any major protest that looks just way too organized, or even once, you know, Occupy got taken over, mm-hmm. and it's way too, like they have top social media people who are quitting their corporate jobs to go donate their whole life to Ferguson to set up a protest in Toronto. Even care about what goes on in Missouri.
Right.
Anyway, but you know, once you start seeing that happening, it's only a matter of time before the report comes out, just like it did in Ferguson, that, oh, look, George Soros spent $30 million on this. Well, isn't that a surprise?
And I mean, the Clintons gave the keys to the castle, nuclear secrets, and everything else to the Chinese, so
right.
No wonder they're on top.
Well, and I gotta wonder. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What do you gotta wonder?
I was wondering, since we were talking about George Soros and kind of funding these things, I was reading a report that was talking about the rally that kind of sprung up after Nemtsov got killed. I mean, talk about a freaking Hollywood ending for Nemtsov in Russia. I mean, Ukrainian model by his side at the gates of the Kremlin. You couldn't have scripted it better. But then I was reading a report saying that some of the rally goers were actually being paid to be there, and I thought, well, man, George Soros is just, man, he's a busy guy, isn't he?
He's got a whole foundation that helps him do it, and then Obama just takes his marching orders straight from there. I mean, that's really what's up. I mean, it was pretty obvious in Ferguson what was going on whenever Obama actually left his vacation early because of Ferguson.
Right.
To go meet with Holder. As soon as that happened, I went, oh, okay, here we go. Now this whole thing is going to be some ridiculous Hollywood production, and it was.
I agree with that too. I agree with that.
You know, I've definitely been critical of our, I don't want to live under our Anglo New World Order.
Right.
Revolution. Obviously, you know, Nemtsov and other Russian opponents over there, they don't really represent the people. They represent the American corporate interest. Everybody from Garry Kasparov on down, you know, Garry Kasparov, the chess champion, he's been one of the major protest opponents of Putin over there. And he's been a neocon for 20 years. He got an award directly from Rumsfeld and Cheney way back in the day. He was at Bilderberg a few years ago.
Really?
Nemtsov is one of his running pals.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
And so the idea that these are real opponents in Russia that represent anyone in Russia is very illusory, you know?
Right.
Not that I'm a fan of the tyranny and the repressive things that Putin and his own people do. I don't think I'm gonna feel very good living under a Chinese Russian New World Order either. But at the same time, I do welcome an alternative to the IMF. They've been very tyrannical against developing countries.
Mm-hmm.
They've done some horrible things with their economic strings over there.
The IMF likes to come in and just set up free trade zones, screw your people in your third world country out of any meaningful employment that could do anything to change their lives, and then do population control experiments on them. That's the IMF. So
look at the austerity package that they're pushing on the Ukraine right now. They're cutting pensions by 15%, and then if you work in like any type of government or police role or whatever, your pension's gone, just gone.
Oh yeah, and once they come in there in about, you know, 6 months to a year, they'll start pulling in all the wonderful population control experiments, they'll inflict on all the people. They'll start sterilizing people and injecting them with substances so they can't have children. That'll be the next step. That's what they always do.
It was the Soviet communists who opened the doors in World War II, not the Americans. Is that what's happening again with BRICS, you know, kind of throwing down the IMF's dominance?
And Nemtsov, he's
by metaphor,
the latest, but 8 other people have also been killed who were opposed to Putin. And I think Putin realizes he's popular enough that he doesn't need to kill all of these people, but it would be great to put them in there, kill them, and then try to make him look bad. Because that's not something that we would totally
never do that. They didn't just release that CIA document about how to do that in Nicaragua back in the day.
They never did that in Cuba or like all these other. That's never ever happened ever. I don't know what you're even talking about.
Right.
This is all totally new and only related to Putin.
And I can't imagine that Putin would do something that stupid with the worldview on him.
He doesn't need to. He just doesn't even. He's popular enough that he doesn't need to.
You know what I don't understand? What I don't understand is why we can't build a coalition against this guy after he shot MH17 down. I mean, come on, a guy shot a plane out of the sky.
Oh, plane? He did it himself personally. He was there.
You know,
I think I even saw that picture on what's that American
Twitter?
Voice Radio or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Know.
So And right now, in the background of all this, we have John Kerry arguing that we need more propaganda to fight RT.
Ugh.
America needs more propaganda. Are you kidding? We need more propaganda? We don't have enough propaganda? And going, look, it's not that we don't have the propaganda. It's just that the people don't give a crap. They don't want to hear the propaganda. They're done listening to America tell them things after they come and blow up their entire neighborhood. They don't really give a crap what you have to say on your little American radio at that point.
Yeah.
Kerry. And he goes, oh, well, we need more. Just if we had more, they would actually listen. You know, no, they won't, because we're blowing everyone up everywhere. Eventually, no one's going to listen. Get a clue.
And we have the internet, so all your lies are, you know, we can work around them at this point.
At any time. Yeah.
That is, of course, until the FCC takes over the internet and we start seeing, the great Chinese firewall around the United States, which I don't know how far away we are from that. But that, to me, seems like the big option that's left for them on the table is either you turn off the electricity and pretend that Putin blasted us with an EMP, or you just flip off the internet and make it so that we can't get any type of information. You know what I mean?
Those are the two. That's what's going to, yeah. No, I agree with you. That's probably what's going to happen soon enough. I mean, I think right now the only reason, because people ask this question all the time, and we were even talking about this a bit with Papa and his radio show recently, but they ask this question all the time. Like, well, if what you're saying is so true and so meaningful, then why do they allow you to continue to have a radio show? Why do they allow you to continue to be on social media? Well, yeah, you're right. Allow is the key word because, I mean, FCC just passed net new. And it was a great moment for democracy when 3 out of 5 unelected bureaucrats decided they're going to regulate the internet, opening the door to censorship. Yay for America. And everyone clapped. Yay! They were clapping while they were holding hands. It was pathetic.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think they've allowed us to all be on social media and be here for as long as possible so they can track us and, know where we are, figure out what our views are, so that they know exactly who they want to shut down when the time comes to do it. And
right.
They will. And they absolutely will. I think one of the most interesting things I learned recently, we went camping and we had a whole incident where someone tried to, like a person who I'm pretty sure was on pills and completely drunk and totally out of his mind. We were sleeping in the middle of the night, so that was wonderful. State parks go. And, but what I found out was, even though we were in the middle of nowhere, at 3 o'clock in the morning, no phone signal whatsoever, I could immediately get through to 911 clear as a bell without any problems.
Really?
So at any moment of any time when you have a phone anywhere in America, anywhere, I don't care, go to, out in there, you can call 911 at any time.
Well, it's interesting because Apple just came out with a patent this week that allows them to track your phone even when it's off. And that's how they're filling it. They're like, we can find your phone even if it's not on. Well, and this is so awesome. And I'm thinking, that's not awesome. That's the opposite of awesome.
It's like at Bilderberg last. Says privacy exists. If they're asking it means they already know the answer.
Exactly.
It's a rhetorical question.
Exactly. All right, guys, we got to go to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be back with our final segment with Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton. Hope you guys are all enjoying the show out there. Appreciate you guys being in the chat room. We'll be back. 3-minute break, guys. Keep it right here.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life. Really? I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals. Wow, why are you so nice to me? Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
We all know the importance of having storable foods. But what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Exposing faux capitalism with Jason Earp.
Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. I'm going to move away from the news. Obviously, we've only got this last segment left with our very special guests, Mel and Aaron, from TruthStream Media today. So we're going to kind of get away from the news because I want to talk about some things that they have been researching recently. I do want to recommend everybody check out their show. It'll be later on this afternoon on Truth Frequency at 4 o'clock between 4 and 6 Central Time, TruthStream Media on TFR. Please go check that out. Also, check out their websites, TruthStreamMedia.com and Nutritional Anarchy. So much good information that these guys aggregate and bring to the table. It's absolutely fantastic, and I'm really happy that they were able to drag themselves out of bed and join us such an early time this morning. I want to go ahead also and open up the phone lines. If you guys have questions or comments for myself or for Mel or for Aaron, please give us a call at 866-37-TRUTH or 866-378-7884, and I'll keep an eye on the phone board. I'm kind of hoping that Obi is out there listening. And the reason I'm bringing Obi up is because, Aaron, you and I were talking a little bit about some of the research that you and Mel have been doing into the fracking situation. And we all know how bad fracking is. There was an actual report that came out from the U.S. Geological Survey saying that the Oklahoma earthquakes are absolutely 100% related to fracking. And so I know you guys have kind of dug into the
Oklahoma is now the number one state in the country for earthquakes. When they didn't have, if you go back to 2000 and look at earthquakes in this country, Oklahoma had zero.
It's
zero earthquakes.
Yeah, it's astounding. It's
today
astounding.
Today, with oil and gas executives pressuring Oklahoma geologists not to reveal the fracking quake link, and there are towns in the greater Dallas area, Denton being one of them, little tiny small towns who are trying to ban fracking in Texas because of the quakes that are happening. Mm-hmm. There's some towns there that have had their first earthquakes ever and about a year ago, and they've already had hundreds of earthquakes, albeit relatively small, and people want that out of there. They're upset about it, but in Texas, it's muchos fracking, okay?
Right.
And George P. Bush, the son of Jeb Bush from the powerful dynasty, just became land commissioner, and he pretty much rules over mineral rights, which are completely separate from property rights in Texas. So it's actually very hard for a town to ban fracking, even if their mayor and council are behind them.
Hmm. Well, and the reason I brought up the caller Obi, and please don't let that dissuade you if you're not Obi and you'd like to call in, but Obi called us like a month ago, and he was talking about a dirty little secret in the fracking industry, and it kind of correlates to some of the research that you guys have been doing recently as well. So I wanted to know if you could kind of get into the other side of fracking, the side that none of us have, I mean, I wasn't aware of it until Obi called, and certainly wasn't aware that it was as historical and as in-depth as you guys seem to think it is now.
This is something we knew nothing about, but Melissa stumbled upon it. We were looking for something else, and she found that going back to the 60s, Halliburton has been working with the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, you know, one of the biggest sites in the country for nuclear production, part of the Manhattan Project, one of the big production sites for atomic energy. They have been conspiring or working secretly in the background to dump nuclear waste underground using fracking. And they've been doing it since 1960. They ran a few articles about it in 1964, disclosing it to the public. And they talk about in articles that were printed in Texas, there's one in Oklahoma, one in Pennsylvania, about how with the help of the oilmen's techniques at Halliburton, they developed a cement slurry that is low in cost that they can mix with the radioactive substances and inject into the ground using all the water and everything else that's used for fracking. Yes, fracking is not new. It's not something that just popped up in the last decade or two. It's been used for a considerable time. And it was indeed used to dump nuclear waste, millions of gallons of it, about 4 million gallons per year, just that they disclosed in these articles going back to the 60s. We found articles in 1969 and 1973 showing it was still going on. And, of course, they also talked about how they've dumped other nuclear waste into the waterways. And hopefully a lot of people have heard about the connection to fluoride. One of the reasons that we have water fluoridation sold to the public and put in our water supply as a benefit for teeth has nothing to do with the dental industry. It has to do with industrial waste disposal. That's why they hired PR men, including Edward Bernays. But Oak Ridge themselves had agreed to release low-level waste like the fluoride that's used for uranium enrichment and put it in the water supply. Other stuff, other components, they pour directly into lakes and rivers.
I just want to make sure I get your position correct here so I understand you. You're saying that drinking a neurotoxin is not beneficial to my teeth?
Only if you want lower IQ and a good chance at bone cancer.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Okay. And it was sold by Edward Bernays, the same guy who told women that it was really good to smoke.
The father of public relations. Yes, he's the guy that gave us breakfast. I mean, really,
yes,
fundamentally.
This guy. Yeah, because, well, they had all of it left over after making the atomic bomb. It was a huge byproduct of that whole process. And they had so much of it, and they were like, where can we dispose of this cheaply? Oh, I know. Let's sell it to the public as it being a dental benefit, and we'll just pour it in all of their water. And the fact that we still do that today, when they've obviously shown that all those studies were woefully incomplete, data was array. I mean, it's just ridiculous that we even still drink toxic waste. We're drinking a byproduct of the atomic bomb. Why are we doing that? But on top of that, you have all these articles. I was just looking for something on fracking in general. Mm-hmm. I was just doing some research on fracking in general because on its face, if you look at the practice of fracking at all, we're putting toxic, potentially carcinogenic compounds. We're injecting them into the earth. It's like, first of all, they want you to go inject yourself with potentially carcinogenic chemicals with vaccines, but they're also doing it in mass to the planet as well as this see no evil disposal of waste. And when I thought about fracking, somehow I had separated this from my mind from waste disposal, but it's not. Fracking companies are completely in bed with all of these other major mega corporations all across our country that produce pesticides, the pharmaceutical industry that has all their waste byproducts, agriculture. I mean, all of these different areas are teamed up with the fracking companies, with the oil and gas industry, and that's where they dump their waste. In fact, one of these articles that Aaron found, they call it a cornerstone of the nation's economy.
What? A cornerstone of the nation?
It's a cornerstone of the nation's economy. This article is like 3,000 words long because once we started typing on it, we just couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. But they literally said, here, let me find it. Okay. Sorry, it's seriously, this is a 3,000-word article.
This is like a whole nother level of evil, though.
Subterranean waste disposal. This was in ProPublica. They did a whole, there's a whole series over at ProPublica that I suggest everyone who is not sure, that they think they know about fracking, you don't know anything, so you go and read these reports at ProPublica, because my goodness, it's insane. But this is a quote. Subterranean waste disposal. Oh, well, let's start over. Many scientists and regulators say that the alternatives to the injection process, burning waste, treating wastewater, recycling, or disposing of waste on the surface are far more expensive or bring additional environmental risks. Subterranean waste disposal, they point out, is a cornerstone of the nation's economy, relied on by the pharmaceutical, agricultural, and chemical industries. It is also critical to a future less dependent on foreign oil, hydraulic fracturing, clean coal technologies, nuclear fuel production, carbon storage, the keystone of the strategy to address climate change, all count on pushing waste into rock formations below the Earth's surface. And here's the thing. When you go back, so I started looking up fracking just to do research because I'm saying, okay, we're injecting toxic carcinogenic compounds into the earth. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous anyway. Like by itself, if you just think about that practice, what the hell are we doing? I mean, why are we doing this to ourselves? Well, our water is there. So that's already insane.
Well, I mean, I get it because their plan before that was dumping in the ocean, which is also a horrible idea. Mm-hmm. They had to know that's going to catch up to us. I can understand why they found it appealing to put it into the earth. Inject it with fracking and say, well, it's cemented up. They literally say in these articles, it'll be good for a million years.
Yeah, they totally said that. Oh yeah, they do. They do say that. Well, they cause the earthquake. Absolutely. Right. So I'm looking at this and saying, all right, that's already ridiculous anyway. That's already dangerous anyway. Here's the whole point with the atomic bomb. Why were they messing with that anyway? They obviously didn't know what they were doing if they don't have any good plan for how we're going to get rid of all of this radioactive waste that could kill us all.
Like, right.
Instead of maybe injecting it into the ground where it could possibly taint our drinking water. And then you've got the Cheney loophole, of course, where he, in 2005, they've now allowed the industry to completely circumvent the Safe Drinking Water Act by exempting fracking fluids from the Safe Drinking Water Act.
Wow. So Cheney from Halliburton, as vice president, gets a special rule for the fracking industry that they don't have to follow the Safe Drinking Water Act. And if you've seen the documentary Gasland or read about fracking, as I know you have, there's hundreds of chemicals in these fracking mixtures. Some of them are known carcinogens or otherwise harmful. Maybe some of them are benign. And with the disposal of nuclear waste, you can guarantee this is still going on. Who knows what's in that water?
Well, that's the thing, is that it's proprietary mixes. You can't even find out what they're putting in.
So how are
they getting a circumvention from, you know, accountability without even disclosing what it is that they're actually using is, you know, that's a sticking point in my mind.
And we know that Halliburton and KBR has been working with the Pentagon, the war industry with Iraq, but what's clear from this article is that their ties to the secret government, to national security secrets, go back at a minimum to 1960 for a long time. Who knows what they're really hiding, what they're really not saying. I was reading some people's comments about, well, that's nothing. Los Alamos paid people to go dump nuclear waste on the roadways and in ditches and stuff. And I don't doubt it. That's probably true.
But
I didn't see a link to the documentation. But
right.
Here's the thing. If you have a well and you want to get it tested, you can have them test for all kinds of things. Bacteria, metals, organic toxins, minerals. But if you want to get it tested for radioactive stuff, odorless, colorless, tasteless, radioactive stuff, good luck with that. It costs a lot of money. Most people couldn't even afford to do so, and it's not a test you can just readily go get. It's not the same as the bevy of tests you can get.
So just waving a Geiger counter over your water is not going to tell you what you need
to
know.
It's not going
to
tell you what you're...
Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could do it, but I mean, it's not going to tell you what's actually in there or what its half-life is or you know, what... And so... I'm just trying to look up some information on fracking itself, and I just stumble across all of these articles from the 60s where they're openly saying, oh, Halliburton is going to save us all from this unsightly nuclear waste problem that we seem to be having. What can we do? Oh, out of sight, out of mind. Let's just inject that right into there. Oh yeah, it's so smart. All the smart scientists at Oak Ridge National Laboratory are going to combine together with Halliburton and public-private partnership, and it's like, oh,
it had
it's
all
horrifying.
The optimism of the classic 60s
stuff, the
50s,
propaganda. And yeah, definitely.
It was problem solved, they said. But we know it's contaminating water supplies. Melissa wrote about the accidental oops spilling of 3 billion gallons of contaminated fracking water.
How long
fracking
did that
water
take?
In California.
Into the aquifer.
Absolutely.
And obviously, we can't live without that. You know, Texas was caught a few years ago hiding radioactive water, hiding radiation in the drinking water. Rick Perry was among the officials who were helping to fudge the data. And, well, they say, well, that's that radon and stuff, that's naturally occurring in the soil. Really? Is that why all the officials from the regulatory agencies changed the data to hide something that's naturally occurring? Right. If it's just naturally there, I'm sure they could have found a way to explain it. But no, they were caught fudging the test results to lower the radioactive reports. Being Texas, I can only guess what that might really actually relate to. But that's another subject.
So we're one of the biggest fracking states in the entire country. Well, and this is the thing. So back in the days when these articles came out, they had already been doing this as a test run for 4 years at Oak Ridge National Laboratory, who was obviously on process and the Manhattan Project. Mm-hmm. But back in that time period, when these articles came out, the two main fracking companies that were running all across the country were Halliburton and Dowell. And Dowell was a subsidiary of Dow Chemical. So the saviors of our whole problem were Halliburton and Dow Chemical, two companies that I know I can just trust all
day.
Just
like everything else with Bilderberg, it goes back to the Rockefeller family and IG Farben. I mean, it's just IG Farben has been broken up in name, but it still rules today. It's the heart of the industrial complex, the nexus point of all the as far as I could tell. A pretty good starting point anyway, but not everything.
I will tell you what's really concerning about these articles. Not just the points they keep making about how we're wrestling with what to do with this material, what can we inject it into the ground, but they keep changing the depth at which they're injecting it. Because some of the earlier articles talk about how it's 1,000 feet, then they say it's 500 feet. I mean, today they're talking about depths of 5,000 feet, but back then, no, it was actually pretty shallow where they were putting some of this. And then if you look at some of the ProPublica reports that I was talking about earlier, they mention that we have, 2 million of these wells, abandoned wells all over the country, abandoned or plugged oil and gas wells, more than 100,000 of which probably aren't in regulator records. A lot of them have been lost. Places like Chico, Texas, back in 2003, suddenly all this water starts gushing up out of the ground. It's bubbling. It smells horrible. It's foul. It's black.
Right.
And they realize, oh, we're fracking. And here's all these abandoned wells. We didn't even know we're here. And suddenly all this stuff starts gushing up in all these places. I mean, we have two oil wells in this country. So when they frack in a new place, if those wells aren't mentioned, in the register, if they're not mentioned in the books, and they start fracking in that area, it's going to come back out in those abandoned wells and shoot back up to the surface. It's going to infect our water.
If they can't tell the public that they're dumping fluoride from nuclear waste in the water, because that's a national security secret, do you think they're really keeping records on the national security secret of having Halliburton bury? Maybe they put out a press report about Oak Ridge, but that doesn't mean they put a press report or logged it in a well record book for all the other ones. How right. do they know they're not going to reopen up an old well? They've demonstrated
that
the cement breaks down. They were still talking up this process of burying the hydraulic as late as 1973, and they wrote, because the rock and radioactive waste it contains will not be exposed to the biosphere for millions of years, this method should be safe unless leakage into overlying aquifers occurs.
<End quote. laughs>
Unless it occurs.
Yeah.
So then you start looking into it and you find out, oh, in April of 1967, pesticide waste injected at a chemical plant at Denver's Rocky Mountain Arsenal destabilized the seismic fault and it was shattering windows at schools and stuff was shooting back up to the surface. A year later, corroded hazardous waste for pulping liquor at a Hammermill paper company ruptured and 5 miles away, noxious black liquid was seeping up from abandoned.
Wow.
Away. So it's not even just because they always test the general area when they're going to frack. They say, oh, we've looked at the general area, it's so many feet around where they're going to frack. Mm-hmm. Not 5 miles away. That's right. Not what's required by regulation. It's actually a very small distance circumference around whatever area they're going to frack. But they've had leaks 5 miles away, so they have control over nothing is the point. In 1975 in Beaumont, Texas, dioxin and a highly acidic herbicide injected underground by another chemical company burned a hole in the well casing and sent 5 million gallons of waste into a nearby water aquifer. In 1984, in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, radioactive waste turned up by water monitoring near a deep injection well at the government nuclear facility. The very nuclear facility that in 1960 and 1964 and all these reports, they're saying, we found a new thing with Halliburton. So 20 years earlier, they're hailing this new great technology of fracking the nuclear waste. And we won't see it for a million years. It'll never touch the biosphere. It's turning up.
Millions of years.
Wow.
That's at least
turning up. We're monitoring near the deep injection wells at the exact facility where they first announced they were going to start doing it.
And you can
20
go ahead
years,
and bet
that's it.
That they tested outside Oak Ridge because they knew for a fact it was buried there, radioactive waste. Who knows where else it was buried? Will they find it? Will they find it by accident? What kind of accident will it be? But, you know, as Melissa mentioned, this is a cornerstone of the nation's economy. The rug.
All of our waste is being injected into the earth. All of these major corporate, this is why I'm telling people, you can never pay enough carbon taxes.
Right.
Actually, now they're talking about a footprint tax, which will just existing, you'll have a tax for your life.
Which we do anyway, but
I mean, they're actually going to call it a footprint tax. I've seen some of the white papers that come out from some of these climate change organizations that work with the UN. It's pretty sad. But you could never pay enough carbon taxes and plant enough trees. You know how, like, if you go get a hotel reservation on Travelocity, and they're like, oh, add a quarter to offset your carbon and plant a tree. By the way, stories have come out in the New York Times. They're actually burning down African villages to kick those people off their land to plant those trees to assuage green guilt of the first world. So good luck with that. They take guns and they go in there and they burn down people's houses to plant your freaking tree to offset your guilt. That's not going to matter anyway, because these mega corporations are injecting all of their waste into the earth. You can plant a whole orchard of trees. Good luck with that. It's still not going to offset all these gigantic corporations injecting pesticide waste, pharmaceutical waste, agricultural waste into the earth right near our drinking water. Here's a quote from engineer Mario Salazar. He worked as a technical expert for 25 years with the EPA's underground injection program in Washington. And he said in 10 to 100 years, we're going to find out that most of our groundwater is polluted. A lot of people are going to get sick, and a lot of people. The guy who worked with the EPA, with their underground injection program in Washington for 25 years, he's an insider. He knows what he's talking about, and he's saying, look, I was an engineer, and I'm telling you, it's not going to be a million years. It's going to be in 10 to 100 years, and we're going to find out all of our groundwater is totally screwed.
And look at your pop culture references. You got the dystopic, idiotic future of Idiocracy, where the great garbage collapse of 3030 or whatever triggers events, or you got the Simpsons episode where Homer takes money from other cities to bury the waste in the landfill that explodes and ruins the town. We've got a system in real life that is economically hedged on sweeping our pesticides and our nuclear waste and all manner of toxic chemical trash and trying to bury it beneath our feet. They've been caught pouring it in the waterways, and somehow we assume this isn't going to catch up to us. Some people accept these excuses that pesticides are safe, or they produce safer foods, or they're going to feed the world. We've got to learn these lessons, not just people in the alternative media. Somehow we've got to reach the mainstream and get consumers to opt out of this, so at least there's that pressure. Maybe it can do something, because this is obviously not going to work. You don't have to be a left-leaning, tree-hugging hippie to see that this is probably not a very good idea just to randomly dump waste. We went to Times Beach in Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
A stone's throw from where Melissa grew up.
Oh, we have a whole report coming out.
Official, disaster, where the guy was caught being paid to dump dioxin.
He was spreading it out all over the road.
He was trying to control the dust, ostensibly, is what they were doing.
Yeah, and he didn't know. He didn't since when he put it out on the road. Absolutely.
And there was so much concern. They had to move the whole town. I mean, the whole town.
They moved the whole town. They evacuated it.
That's a ghost town.
I'm from up there. Like the, we used to drive out, you know, down 44 towards Eureka and St. Clair and stuff. Yeah. You would drive by there and my mom would always mention to me that whole.
Every time. Yeah. Me
so
too.
So creepy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, we're from the same backyard. So, I mean, and you go there now and the EPA has swooped in and they saved the day and the state parks have turned it into a Route 66 museum.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow. I haven't been there in ages. So it's actually being touted as a tourist spot now.
Like if you drive
cool
through
Elvis
it.
Stuff and classic cars.
Classic cars. Because when I think of Route 44, I think of some obscure small area outside of Eureka, Missouri. That's the right. Classic Route 44
area. I'm sorry,
area.
Route 44
Give
is
me a
the highway
Route 66,
to diabetes.
I'm sorry. 66. It's Route 66. I'm sorry. But yeah, so they have all this Route 66 propaganda. They have a huge little store there where you can buy all the, you know, crap that says Route 66 on it and everything. Right. It's really big. It's actually larger than most convenience stores. It's that big. And they have one little section in their whole museum thing they've set up there about Times Beach. One little section with pictures and stuff talking about how the EPA saved everyone, even though we looked into this and did a lot of research for this report we got coming out. They knew about it for over a decade and did nothing. Mm-hmm. So they knew about it, did nothing. All these people got sick. I mean, they had to completely, they all lost everything. They're in there. They make it into a Route 66 museum and cover it up. I get into an argument with the woman sitting at the desk and it's not her fault, but I totally went off on her and we've got this all on tape because I'm saying you don't have a single book in there you're selling about the Times Beach disaster. You're going to sell all this crap. I mean, it's ridiculous how they cover stuff up.
And I mean, in the larger picture, wake up. These chemical companies are mostly splinter companies from Nazi Germany. If not, they operate on the same ethical period. It's quite energy. We know from Fukushima, the plants don't work to pesticides and dioxins and everything else they're making. They don't have a plan. Their plan is to fight and let the repercussions catch up decades or centuries later when no one's paying attention and no one could be held accountable. This world is built on an illusion of poisoning us. Yeah. It's completely absurd and it's got to be criminal, except there's just no justice system for this.
There isn't. And I'll tell you, people in the chat room, you know, we're having a discussion about the banking thing. We're having a discussion about this fracking injection and basically the collusion of all these criminal elements that we're surrounded by and the fraud that they're perpetuating. And somebody said, you know, how can these people sleep at night? And for that, I would have a 3-word response, cremation of care. You know what I mean? Seriously,
yeah,
that's who these people
absolutely.
Are, and that's how they're able to get away with sleeping at night, because how else could you do it?
They have no empathy.
That's
and that's works, Carm. I mean, there's a balance that is sought when you put out all this negative stuff. Something has to hit back on that. There's a balance.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Cremation of care is the only way they could possibly look themselves in the mirror ever.
Well, I'll tell you what, you two are part of that balance and part of that fighting back, and I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your schedule and getting up so early. We're just about out of time, so I'm going to kind of try and tie it up. I want to highly recommend people check out your show this afternoon, 4 to 6 Central Time on Truth Frequency. Aaron Dykes, Melissa Melton, you guys are high water marks on humanity as far
as
I'm concerned.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks.
The sun's just rising over the
Is it really?
Until 5 a.m. doing research, and then we can't barely make
it's
it.
It's
hardly
early, but we're just...
it's pretty sad, no.
I loved it. I thought we did a great job today, and I really enjoyed having you guys here. So I'm going to go ahead and wish you guys a wonderful rest of your day. Enjoy your weekend. I will be in the chat room this afternoon during your show, so perhaps we'll get a chance to chat again then.
Thanks, JD, and all
thanks.
The listeners.
Yeah, we love you guys.
Oh, yeah, totally. And, yes, please support Truth Frequency Radio. Listeners, say no. Throw a donation at anybody that needs it out there. All the hosts will appreciate it. These two guys, Aaron and Melissa, are, just super awesome. Can't appreciate them enough. Take care, everybody. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you guys again on Monday. Take care. Good luck out there. See you guys.
Yeah. Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUE.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.